The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, good morning. Put the first slide up. Do you ever feel like that? I can relate to that cat. My mother will tell stories, much to my chagrin, about when I was young, I would stick my hands in things where they don't belong. Small spaces. And I would get stuck like that cat. And my mother says she always would keep a bottle of dish soap around so that she could grease up my arm so I could get my arm out. I don't do that anymore, luckily. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be stuck as we're in the midst of our series on the four chair of making disciples. You know, we've talked about the first chair, which is those that are seeking God. And there's something that they don't know they're seeking God, but they're seeking something. And so they're searching. And so what needs to happen is you and I as believers need to come alongside them and befriend them and spend time with them. And then ultimately what we do, we get to that point and we share the gospel with them. But we need to be friends with them and we need to be in their world with them. And once they accept Christ and the cross, then they move over to the second chair, which is the comfortable chair, is the believer. They know Christ. Now they're excited about it, but this chair is comfortable because it's easy to get stuck in it. It's where there's really not much of a commitment. There's not much that you have to do short of learning, and you're starting to grow, and you're starting to bear fruit, but it's all fruit that's inside. Ultimately, though, we need to go, and we need to take the next step, which is to go to the third chair, which is the worker. This is somebody who has been a believer for a while and is growing in their faith, and now they're starting to act on it. They're starting to go and be involved in ministries, and they're starting to reach out to their neighbors. Now, granted, they should be reaching to their neighbors here too, and they do sometimes. In fact, some people will argue that this is the best time to reach the unsaved because you're still friends with them. Because as you move into chair three and chair four, we lose some of those friendships. But chair four, three is where the worker is. And last week we talked about chair four, which is those people who are making disciples, those people who have a laser focus on what God has given them to do. And they go out and they start organizations and start doing things. It's more than just a Bible study. They're not content with the way things are. They want more. And they're still building friendships. And they're going back here to chair one people and they're leading them to Christ and they're walking with them. And that's their purpose in life. They don't necessarily have to work in the church. They may be working so that they can do these things. Their job in the world out there is so they can be support themselves so that they can do what God wants them to do. But as we know, it's easy to get stuck in a chair, especially this one. It's even easy to get stuck in this chair. And there are those who never make it out of this one. In fact, if they do make it out, they go the other way. In the book of Mark, Jesus tells a story, which is a great example of the sticking points in the chairs. I'm going to ask that you stand if you go to Mark 4, verses 3 through 9. You guys know this story, this parable. I've preached on it, and I'll continue to preach on it. Mark 4. Verses 3 through 9, we stand in honor of God's word. That's why we stand. It says in verse 3, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Now other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Now other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you for your word. Father, I don't know of anybody in here who doesn't have ears. Help us to hear what the Holy Spirit's telling us from this parable. Help us to learn and to grow. We We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. As we are reaching into chair one, people, and we're hoping to move them into chair two and two, and ultimately chair three, and I mean, our ultimate goal is chair four, we start to see these sticking points. And trouble's going to arise. Now, I think it's important, just like a rally driver. You know, if you know anything about rally racing, what the drivers will do is they will mark out the course. They know the course before they drive it. They, and in fact, their passenger is the navigator, and he's telling them, you know, 2 miles, or not even miles, two clicks, right turn. He's telling them exactly what's going to happen next because they're going so fast. The driver can't think that far ahead, so the passenger's having to do it for them. But they've already marked out the course. It's so important that as we go and we are making disciples, as we make disciples in our lives, as we make friends with people and the ultimate goal of leading them to Christ, we need to know what the dangers are. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about the dangers. This week, we're talking about things that are sticking, that keep us stuck in a chair. And the parable from Mark 4 addresses it perfectly. The first one is a seed thrown along the path. That's the chair one, people. The path is hard. It's rocky. There's little hope for a fruitful harvest. The seed can't even get into the ground. It's uncultivated. It doesn't receive the seed. And because of that, the birds come along and they eat it. Now, there are people in the world who are that hard soil. Some of those are in our families. In fact, I don't know of any family that doesn't have somebody who has a hard soil. They cannot get the seed in because their heart, for whatever reason, they may have been hurt in the past. They may not have been brought up in a Christian family or a family that at least went to church. And that seed is hard. The ground is hard and it can't get into them. It can't go. In Luke, Jesus goes, and actually Mark 2, but in Luke, he kind of explains the parable. He says in Luke 8:12, he says, "The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." So the person in chair one, they hear the word, but they can't receive it. They're stuck in chair one. And many times what they do, they're not just stuck here in chair one. They've been seeking, they've been searching, but all of a sudden they stop seeking and searching and they get up and they walk away from the chair. They're lost. So the question is, what do we do? When we run into someone who is in chair one and their hearts are hardened, how do we reach them? I mean, it's like any soil. You've got to cultivate it. And how do you cultivate it? Well, relationship is what does it. You earn the right to say some things that you normally wouldn't say to somebody. And you pray, pray, pray your heart out. Understand, I want you to know that none of this happens because of what I do. It all happens because of what the Holy Spirit is doing outside of me. I'm just here to help it along. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work in the people. We got to break up that hard soil. It takes lots of prayer to break up somebody's hard soil because you can't do it. You got to pray for the Holy Spirit to give them a holy discontent, to bug them. Could you imagine me telling Caleb, go bug mommy for a couple hours? No, but that's what we need to do. We need to tell God, I love John. John's a great guy, but you know he doesn't know you. And his heart is hard. He won't accept anything that I tell him about you. Bug him. Give him a discontent that he can't explain. And pray, and pray, and pray. And get others praying with you. We have people here in the church who love. You say, I've got three people in my life that I need prayer for that don't know Christ, and I need help in praying for them. We got people here who will be praying for you every day. When two or more agree on something, it happens. We need to be praying together about this. We need to be friends with them, though. Jesus was a friend of sinners, right? That's how he broke through the ground. It takes time and effort. time and effort to move from chair. People move chair from chair one to chair two. It doesn't happen overnight. It may. That means the Holy Spirit's been working a lot ahead of time. He's been out there cultivating your soil. But it takes time. The next seed was seed that was sown in rocky places. Now the birds come and take it. By the way, anytime you see birds in Scripture, a lot of times in the parables, it's Satan. It's Satan. And the birds will come and take away the seed. But we need to be persistent and replant that seed and keep praying. So now we have the seed sown in rocky places. And this is I'm like way off on my slides. That's okay. The seed sown in rocky places. See, in order for seeds to germinate, it needs some place where it can put roots down. The soil needs to be good. I'm all excited because I've put a bunch of leaves on my garden, and I'm just anxious to get out there and till it under and get that soil. Aren't you ready to plant some? I mean, I'm ready to start planting. I planted stuff downstairs already, some lettuce, just to watch, because I have to see something growing, something green growing besides snow, which is white. I need to see something green. So, but it's got to have some soil. It's got to put roots down in order to pull the nutrients out of the ground. In Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, this is the people who are in chair one who've moved into chair two, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, according, abounding in thanksgiving. See, there's some people who receive the word of God. They're in chair two, and they receive the word of God, and they accept him, and they're full of joy because, this is the answer. This is it. I think I'll preach from here the rest of the time here. But see, what happens is things start getting difficult. Things start getting hard. The rocky soil is not an easy place to be. And we get temporary blessings and relief from all our troubles because we've accepted Christ. But it's rocky soil, it's going to start happening. Trouble and persecution will come. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it comes. But the problem is when if they haven't gotten deep rooted, they won't hold. They won't stay. The sun comes out. Tribulation happens, and they wither and die. And 9 times out of 10, if we're not deep-rooted, we move over back to chair one. And ultimately, we may. Because their salvation wasn't sure. Their salvation wasn't strong. Or they sit and stay in chair two. They stay in chair two, never growing. They come to church. They act like a Christian. They act like a believer. They act like a disciple. But they're not. Because they're not growing and they're not obeying everything that God, Jesus told them to do. If we don't have enough roots, we will never get to the stage where we're bearing fruit. Never. And see, that's what you and I are here to do. We are here to help this person who is in chair two, who is not bearing fruit, to come alongside and say, listen, you're going to have some issues. I'm here to help you get through them. Help you keep growing. The church has failed in this. We can't do that anymore. We must come alongside new believers, and we must go find people who are stuck in chair two and get them unstuck. Because they need to be bearing fruit. And what is that fruit? It's from Galatians. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Again, I would suggest that you memorize those, be able to say them, but even more so, be able to live them. That's who you are inside, how it changes you as you grow. So the question is, how do you help someone develop deep roots? When Beth and I are planting a new tree, what we do is we put in root stimulator. Right? And what that does, it makes the roots grow. Well, there's spiritual root stimulator. There is. We need a spiritual root stimulator. So what do we do? How do we do it? Here's how we do it. First of all, we need to go and we need to discuss with them. We need to take them through this parable and say, look, this is where you are. You need to get deeper. You need to get some deep roots. You need to spend time with God and grow deeper. Now, granted, you're not going to be a theologian, but you're going to learn to trust God more than you would have. We need to ask them what kind of fruit they want to bear. We've got to talk to them about what does that mean? Share some of the issues that we face. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't like going through life by myself. I like to know that there are other people who struggle with things just like I do. There are no lone Christians. That's why we are together, is because we have all experienced things that others have. And if we can walk with them and we can show them, hey, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. I went through something like that a few years ago, and man, it was murder. It was terrible. And I thought I wasn't going to make it, but you know what? I made it, and I'm stronger. It gives them hope. We need people to learn from each other. Then we need to study. We need to spend time. That's the second ingredient in the spiritual root stimulator, studying. Spend time looking at who they are in Christ. I believe that this world has an identity crisis. I think we're trying to find our identity in this world and in the things of this world, when in reality, what matters is your identity in Christ. Who are you in Christ? Well, I'm a child of God. What does that mean? That means I'm worth something. I think if we figure out the identity problem, we won't have issues that happened last week. Or we might, just because there's evil in the world. But I just think that there's a really bad identity crisis in this world today. We need to spend time looking at Colossians 1 through 3 and Ephesians 1 through 3. Look them up. It talks about who we are in Jesus. And we need to help our disciples put in roots that are deep. Then we need to trust. We need to teach them what it means to live by the power of the Spirit. And how if we live it by our own strength, we're going to fall. If they try to get out of chair 2 and move to chair 3 on their own, they're never going to do it. We need to trust God to do it. He's going to do a work in you. And we need to teach them how to deal with sin. And how do we teach them how to deal with sin? By dealing with our own sin. I talked in Sunday school class today that if I stumble and fall, and when I sin, I need to go to someone that I'm discipling and say, hey, I have this issue that I need to ask forgiveness for from God. Can you do it with me? And you do it. Confess your sins one to another. That's what it means. It means going to someone that you trust and telling them, pray with me. Because again, when two or more ask, it's done. God does it. We have to allow is the next ingredient. We need to allow them the freedom to fail. We don't want to push them too hard and try to push them into maturity too quick. And as spiritual parents, we need to allow our spiritual children to mature. I don't want my kids to grow up too fast, but it's kind of hard as a parent because I want them to mature. I don't want them screaming all the time. You know? I want them to mature, but then when they get to that point, I'm like, maybe not so quick. I kind of like them as a little child. Because I know with maturity comes responsibility and comes trouble. But we need to allow them to mature at their own level and encourage them. We also need to pray. I love this in Ephesians, how Paul prays. He says in Ephesians 1:18, he says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? He's saying, God has called you. He's praying for them. I want you to know that. And I want you to encourage you. Understanding that our identity needs to be based on what Jesus did for us, not what we do for him. In the world today, our identity is based upon what we do, right? I'm a plumber. I'm a businessman. I'm a business owner. That's not your identity. That's what you do. Your identity is that you are a redeemed child of God who is worth so much. And I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ who's going out to make disciples. Who make disciples. That's our identity. It's the root system that will sustain us. The third chair is the seeds that are thrown, that are put in among the thorns. And there's at least three sticking points on this one. This is a dangerous one. In this parable, we see Jesus telling, but he talks about worries, deceitful wealth, and desire for other things. See, when you're in chair three, the seed of the gospel, it's been growing. It's getting you. You're starting to get it. But the problem is that there are worries in this world. We've all been there. We start pursuing things we shouldn't, especially wealth. It is deceitful. It will never satisfy you. And the desire for other things, materialism. These are the thorns that come into our lives that want to keep us down, that choke us out. So how do we stop it? How do we stop the thorns of this life from choking us? Well, first of all, again, we're not doing this alone. We have others that are around us, who somebody who's probably a chair four person, or even we are discipling someone who's a chair two person, and we're able to go to them and talk to them about it. We discuss it. If you've got a problem, you cannot deal with that problem unless you're willing to discuss it. You can't go to the doctor and something's going wrong and not tell him and then walk away and say, well, he didn't figure that one out. What kind of doctor is that? Well, dummy, you didn't tell him it hurt. You know, we have to be willing to discuss these things. And we also have to be willing to keep it confidential. We need to take the time to discuss how each of these challenges affect us and those we are discipling. We have to know ourselves. We have to. And we also need to know those who we are discipling. And we need to help them discuss overcoming the sticky moves. We also need to be discerning. We got to look, when we see somebody's life and they're struggling, we got to look at ourselves and say, am I struggling with the same thing? Do I have the same issues? Because we all have blind spots in our lives that nobody sees. We don't see, but everybody else can see them. Just ask your wife. She'll tell you. She should. You may not like to hear it, guys and ladies, but our spouses will always tell us of our blind spots. We need others to help us see it. Before we can help others, we need to also deal with our own. We need to destroy. We need to tackle the thorns. Man, I hate taking thorns out. I try to wear the thickest gloves I have. I still get stuck, and they get stuck to my legs. And I got to cut the raspberries real soon here, and I know they're going to get stuck all over me. It's not fun. But those thorns will choke out. They will choke out our fruit. We need to take these three things very serious. We also need to demand to be accountable. We need to be accountable to each other. I have two guys in this church that I have begun a relationship with that I am now accountable to, which means I need to go to them, and they need to be asking me the tough questions. What thoughts have you had? Have you been faithful? How's your prayer life? How's your soul? How's your walk? Are you still getting angry? Still got road rage? I don't. But do you still got road rage? I don't, actually. What about these things? Are you dealing with them? We need to be accountable to each other. We need to be in relationships of accountability. It's the only way we're going to get rid of these thorns. We need to have somebody walk up to us and say, you know, how are you dealing with this deceitfulness of wealth, of materialism? How are you dealing with those worries you have, you've been telling me about? Are you dealing with them? And you can't let them go with, oh, I'm doing fine. No, what do you mean? What does that mean? What does it mean you're doing fine? Tell me about that. How did you do that? You know, you try to dig a little deeper. They know that you're doing it because you love them. And you want to help them. And then we got to reverse that. We got to hold our disciples also accountable. What's interesting is all three of these sticking points in chair three, they revolve around money. We worry about money. It's deceitful to us, and we want more things. And it takes money to have more things. But see, it's not money that's bad. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And many have wandered away from the faith in search of it, which means, I'm sorry, Christians are not immune to it. There are those who will leave their Christianity to gain money. And I have to say this because I'm a pastor of the church. Failure to be willing to tithe is a sure sign that you have an issue. Let me just put it this way. I don't like the tithe because it's putting a limit on God. Failure to be willing to give what God compels you to give is a sure sign you have an issue with money. Well, I can't because I've got all these bills. Yeah? That's what you can do about that. Because God says, give it to me anyways, and I'll take care of it. Then there's a trust issue. I want to stop here for a second. I know we're going to be running over here because the kids sang, but I think this is so important to talk about this. If you look at this parable, you have the seed sown on the path, you have the seed sown in the rocky soil, and you have the seed sown among the thorns, and then you have the good soil. Now, any mathematicians in here tell me how many of these don't make it? 3 out of 4? What's that percentage? 75%. Think about that. 75% of the people who begin on this path never make it. Wow. The way is narrow that leads to God. It's not a wide path. That's why making disciples, walking alongside people, is so important so we can increase that success rate. Because God has told us we need to be part of this. He could do it on his own. He can make them that way. He can make them believers. He can change their minds and force it. But he doesn't want that. He wants you and I to come alongside them and walk with them and lead them as they become a disciple who makes a disciple. Jesus said in 9:37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are the ones in chair 3 and chair 4. That's why our response needs to be, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Finally, we get to chair 4, the chair we all love because it is the one that is so the good chair. It's the sweet spot I talked about last week. It's the seed that's sown in good soil. I make my own soil at home, so I know what the soil is like. It's good soil. And what Jesus says is that this seed will grow a crop that's 30 times or 60 times or 100 times what the seed is. That's taking a seed and getting 30, 60, or 100 fruits out of it. Man, I wish I had seed like that. Imagine that. Imagine my tomatoes. Whew. I'd be able to supply tomatoes to everybody in here. Chair 4 is where we all need to be. It's the multiplication of disciples. Paul gives us a picture of what it takes to be fruitful in this way. He says it in 1 Thessalonians 2. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. He says, we didn't just want to share God with you. We wanted to share us with you. That's a person making disciples. Because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we may not be a burden to any of you. While we proclaim to you the gospel of God, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom. See, the question is, do we want to bear fruit, and how much do we want to bear? Scripture tells us that Jesus will tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be honest with you. I'm not so sure somebody who's stuck in chair 2 is going to be told, well done, good and faithful servant. Because remember, Jesus said, teaching them what? To obey everything I have taught. And he taught us to grow, and he taught us to go and make disciples. I think in order for us to hear those words, we can't stay stuck in chair two. We might hear these words if we're in chair three, if we're growing in that way. But I want to tell you something. If I want to be certain to hear those words for him, I need to be in chair four. I need to be a person who makes disciples. That is what a faithful servant is. And as we will see, he doesn't just call them faithful servants anymore. He calls them friends. The question is, what do we want to do? Do we want to bear fruit? Or do we want to bear some fruit? Or do we want to bear much fruit? I don't know about you. I want to bear much fruit. I want to bear much fruit. Sometime if you want to be interested in seeing the Sunday school class all today of how much the difference between conversion growth, addition to the people to the church, and multiplication, making disciples who make disciples, it's phenomenal. The difference is 66 million compared to 600 people. We should be making disciples who make disciples. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we know that there's going to be places we get stuck. But we also know that we need each other to help us get unstuck. We need each other to spur each other along and to encourage each other. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to do it with love. Help us to do it because of your love. Help us to see those people around us who, in our lives, who don't know you. And help us to walk with them and lead them to the cross. Help us to be disciples who make disciples. Help us to not get stuck. May your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.